time for another round of Oh the Humanities, talking with the folks from Carolina Public Humanities on campus about the work they do and the events that they've got coming up, including a big one this weekend. Humanities.unc.edu is the website if you want the full schedule of upcoming events and more information about the work they do on campus in our community and across the state. This Friday and Saturday, Carolina Public Humanities is hosting their annual Adams Symposium at the Keenan Conference Center, focusing on building democracies in times of populism and polarization. Northwestern philosopher Christina Lafond is the keynote speaker. She's the author of a book called Democracy Without Shortcuts, and she'll be speaking about rescuing democracy from populism and technocracy. Her speech is going to be Friday at 5:30. That is free and open to everyone. And we've got Professor Lafond here on the phone. We've also got the director of Carolina Public Humanities here in the studio, Lloyd Kramer. Lloyd, Christina, thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron. It's great to be here. And I also want to affirm the importance of the Maynard Adams Symposium each year for Carolina Public Humanities. Maynard Adams was a longtime philosopher at UNC Chapel Hill. He had a vision of the public role of the humanities, and this annual symposium honors his memory and his commitment to public engagement. And therefore, Christina Lafond is a perfect speaker for this week's symposium, because she is helping us rethink how to protect democracy, how to build democracy in the 21st century. So we're very happy to have her coming from Northwestern to be with us.
And Christina, thank you so much for being with us on the phone today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Before we talk about your keynote specifically, Lloyd, back to you just really quickly. What is the overarching theme of the symposium, and why that particular topic this year?
So during this election year of 2024, Carolina Public Humanities is focused on how the humanities can help us strengthen democracy. How historical knowledge, philosophical debates, literary traditions, the arts, all of these traditions sustain a democratic public sphere. And the humanities are an essential part of civic life in the state of North Carolina, and this symposium is part of that discussion.
And it's a two-day event, again, at the Keenan Conference Center, and you can head to humanities.unc.edu for the full schedule. A lot of great programs and discussions and conversations with a lot of great folks from UNC, and also the keynote by Christina Lafond on Friday at 5:30, and that, again, is free and open to everyone. Tell us, Professor Lafond, about your talk and what you're hoping to achieve with it, and what you're hoping to convey to the audience when they arrive.
Well, I'm going to try to provide some ideas about how citizens can help strengthen democracy in these kind of very dangerous times. But what I try to provide is not so much ideas about forms of participation, etc., that I will be discussing, but what I want citizens to think about is, why are we in this situation where democracy and democratic institutions are truly in danger, right? What got us here? And the reason is because I think there are many, many proposals for how to move from where we are now, right, and how to strengthen democracy, but some of them are themselves not democratic. And I think it's very hard right now to tell the difference between where is it that democracy is going, and where is it that if we continue in that path, we may lose democracy forever. Mm-hmm. The reason is because, and that's why I picked on populism and on technocracy, because those are, in a way, in my view, alternatives to democracy. They aren't really democratic, but they look democratic. They appeal to democratic values, right? So populism promises kind of giving back control to the people, right? And that gives the impression that this is what we need, right? Because citizens feel very disengaged and alienated from the political system and have the impression that the political system is not responsive. So that explains why there is a backlash, so to say. And populism is filling that void and saying, well, we are going to give control to the people. So that can be extremely misleading, because it's important to highlight, and this is something I will do in the first part of my talk, that populism really is a form of exclusion, and in that way, it's not democratic, because by giving control to the people, they really mean, as we by now should know, especially in this country, they mean the real people. They mean whoever are not the enemies of the people. So they don't mean everyone. They don't mean all those who are subject to decisions, which is the democratic ideal. The democratic ideal is about inclusion. It's the idea that anyone who is going to be subject to coercion, to political decisions that are collective, ought to have an equal say. Mm-hmm. And populism is exactly destroying these assumptions, dividing society into groups, the real people and the enemies of the people, right? Polarizing people, looking at who is the real people, those who ought to have a say, and just by that, simply making authoritarianism kind of plausible. Because then once you are down, I call it the down spiral to authoritarianism, once you accept that some group of people do not really deserve to have a say, they just should blindly obey. They should just do what the real people want to happen. Once you accept that division, it doesn't matter who belongs in which group, right? You just have destroyed democracy, which is the idea that we all have that equal right. Even those nasty fellow citizens we don't like, they have an equal right as we do. And we need to convince them before we exercise coercion over them, whether we like it or not. This is the democratic commitment per excellence. And populism and also technocracy offer kind of like shortcuts. The idea is like you can get faster to where you want to go if you just leave behind those fellow citizens that disagree with you, right? This is extremely dangerous. And that is the kind of ideas that I want to make clear so that citizens can tell whether a reform or a way of going is really going to be democratic or not.
Speaking with Christina LaFon, who's the keynote speaker at the Adams Symposium hosted by Carolina Public Humanities this Friday and Saturday at the Keenan Conference Center. Speech is going to be on Friday at 5:30, and that's a free speech. And the point that you made in there, like drawing the distinction between populism and democracy, is really, really important. I was hoping you could say some more about just like what the definition of democracy is in general, because people, I think about democracy as voting and majority rule, and that's a starting point, but you really get into the idea of democracy as like a value and something to manifest in public society. It goes way deeper than that.
Yes, absolutely, because the problem of identifying democracy with majority rule is that it plays in the hands of populists.
Yep.
Right? Populists think that those who have the right to rule are the electoral majority. And of course, once they are in power, they try to make sure that they never lose elections, right? We have seen that in places where it has already happened, like in Hungary, etc., right? The idea is that the justification looks kind of democratic because what's wrong with having the electoral majority making decisions, right? Mm-hmm. But constitutional democracies have built a lot of other institutional devices to make sure that political decisions are done for everyone, not just for those who happen to win an election. Mm-hmm. And so we have a free press making sure that people get the right information and can change their minds on things. We have judicial institutions that slow down the process of a majority simply getting their way, right? Minorities or those who have lost have a judicial venue to contest decisions that they think, for example, that violate their rights. All of that slows down. All of that makes the electoral majority not being able to simply get its way and force everyone else to obey. And that's why populists have no patience with the independence of the judiciary. That's why they try to pack the courts with sympathetic judges. They don't like the free press, right? Mm-hmm. All that makes the democratic process inclusive and not just a matter of the electoral majority is precisely what populists attacked. And once you don't have that, then if you are in the minority, then you are done. You just simply have no choice but to obey whatever that electoral majority decides.
Christina, this is Lloyd again. I wanted to ask, you grew up in Europe. You've seen authoritarian and autocratic regimes in Spain and in other parts of Europe. Do you see something similar happening in the United States that resembles authoritarian movements or parties you've seen in Europe?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, biographically, democracy is really close to my heart because I grew up under a dictatorship. I'm from Spain, and I grew up under Franco. Mm-hmm. And I was already a teenager and an adult in the transition to democracy And then we had a failed military coup when I was already going to college. So I'm extremely aware of the fragility of democracy. Democracy mm-hmm. is not something that once you have it, is going to perpetuate itself. Democracy has to be fought for. And the only ones who can fight for democracy are citizens, because mm-hmm. they are the ones who benefit from sharing power, right? Those who are powerful do not necessarily benefit from mm-hmm. sharing power. Yes. Only citizens do. And that means only citizens can fight for it. But citizens are not organized. They have their own lives to live and have, right? So that's what is so dangerous. And what I see happening here, as I see, the down spiral of authoritarianism is also happening in Europe. We have this authoritarian populism everywhere where there is democracy. We mm-hmm. have it in the right-wing parties, in my own country, in Spain, Vox, in Germany, all over the place. The playbook, as I said, what makes it clearly non-democratic is this first division of the citizenry, this idea that some people just ought to be subject to the decisions. They don't deserve to have a say.
Yes.
They are not the real people, whatever. That is the first step. Once you get that, you have really destroyed democracy, because democracy is that commitment of inclusion, of realizing that everyone ought to have an equal say, because we all are going to be coerced. And once you have that, then it's very easy to polarize, because then it's very dangerous to which group you belong. Like, who are the ones who are going to be making decisions and who are the ones who are going to blindly obey? It matters a lot. And then you lose solidarity, empathy, everything needed mm-hmm. to have all citizens working together and being willing to change hearts and minds of their fellow citizens before imposing decisions on them, right? All this idea, all this slowing down of democracy that requires first to get people on board before you get results, the things you like, the things you favor, right? All of that is gone. And this mm-hmm. is authoritarianism, because this is, in the end, then accepting that the many ought to obey and the few ought to rule. That is authoritarianism. And
right.
it's very dangerous. It's very, I mean, I think, I never thought that the problem was going to be that we could lose democracy in the countries that had already a consolidated democracy. I always thought that the fight was going to be supporting democratic movements in countries that didn't have democracy, the same way as it was in Spain. So in the Arab Spring, etc., the whole idea was we need to get more countries to really have democracy. It never once occurred to me back then mm-hmm. that we could lose democracy in the consolidated countries themselves, and democracy can disappear from the face of the earth.
Yeah,
it's very scary.
A very scary moment.
Speaking with Christina Lafon, again, the keynote speaker at the Adams Symposium hosted by Carolina Public Humanities Friday, Saturday at the Keenan Conference Center. 5:30 on Friday is the keynote speech. That's free and open to everyone. Got to wrap up. Lloyd Kramer, anything else that folks should know about the Adams Symposium?
I think it's simply a symposium that honors Maynard Adams' own commitment to democracy. He was a kind of Jeffersonian who believed democracy is the best form of government. And Christina Lafon is going to help us think about how to protect that tradition. Thank you very much.
Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Go there and find out more. And again, everyone's invited out for the Adams Symposium this Friday and Saturday at the Keenan Center on campus. The keynote speech, Rescuing Democracy from Populism and Technocracy, is Friday at 5:30. Lloyd Kramer, Christina Lafon, thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.